blessed us with, giving us this opportunity to gather and study the Word in peace and freedom. I'm so thankful, Lord, for your Word as it teaches us how we should live our lives and being subjective to you. Father, we just pray for your for you to be with us at this time. I pray that you be with those that are not feeling well, that are not able to be here. Be with those that are traveling and away from us at this time as well. And pray, the Lord, that you continue to bless our church as we stand a beacon of light in this community. And that, Father, we continue to study, to show ourselves approved, and to always be willing to share the gospel with those we come in contact with. Father, be with us throughout this evening. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, here in 2 Samuel chapter 23, and I'm going to go ahead and read the names. I'm not going to burden someone with trying to read some of these names. Some of them are kind of hard to say, and I'm not going to say I'm going to say them perfect, but we'll bear with me. We'll do our best to get through these. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 23, let's start in verse 8, and we'll read through the end of the chapter to get the whole text here. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had: Josheb, Bashabeth, the Tachmite, chief among the captains. He was called Adino the Eznite because he had killed 800 men at one time. And after him was Eleazar the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men whom David with David when they defiled the Philistines, who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines. But he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Then three of the thirty chief men went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam. And the troop of Philistines encamped in the valley of Ramah. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of Philistines was in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So the three men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate. Nevertheless, he would not drink it. He poured it out to the Lord. Then he said, "Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of men who went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. Now Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, the chief of another three, he lifted his spear against 300 men, killed them, and won a name among three. He was not the most honored of three, therefore he became their captain. However, he did not attain to the first three. Benaiah was the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. And he killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, and he went down to him with a staff, wrestled the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah the son of Jehoiada did, and won a name among three mighty men. He was more honored than the 30, but he did not attain to the first three. And David appointed him over his guard. Ahashiel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. Elnan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem, Shammah the Herodite, Elek the Herodite, Helez the Palatite, Ira the son of Ikesh the Tekotite, Abiezer the Anathite, Meberna the Hashite, Zalma the Ahoyite, Mariah the Nephonite, Heleb the son of Bana the Nephonite, Idai the son of Ribi from Gibeah of the children of Benjamin, Benaiah the Petharite, Haddai from the brooks of Gaash, Abi Albanon the Arbathite, Asmuth the Betharite, Elabeb the Sebanite of the sons of Jashan, Jonathan, Shema the Herite, Ahim the son of Sharar the Herite, Elphalite the son of Habashi, the son of Machathite, Eli the son of Ahethopite, the Gilonite, Harai the Carmelite, Parai the Arbite, Igal the son of Nathan of Zora, the Bani the Gadite, Zelek the Amorite, Norel the Bethrite, the armbearer of Joab the son of Zerai, Ira the Itharite, Goreb the Itharite, and Uri the Hittite, 37 in all. Now, we're not going to try to read all those again because I can't really get through that as it is. But I do still find it important to read some of these names. And we may read their first names again, not where they're from. But it is important to mention their names because it is recorded within the Bible. And their names are recorded in the Bible for a reason. And they are to be honored as such as David's mighty men. And again, we'll mention more of their first names and some of the rest of that. But let's go ahead and start. Look back over here at verse 8. Here we have starting out with one of David's mighty men. And it talks about these are the names of David's mighty men. You have Josheb, who was chief among the captains. He was called Adino because he had killed 800 men at one time. We also have recorded in 1 Chronicles 11, and if you would keep your finger here and turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 11. And again, this is another list of David's mighty men. Most of these are all repeated within the same text of 2 Samuel chapter 23. But there in verse 11, we have his recording. And this is the number of the mighty men of David, whom David had. Joshabim, the son, who was chief of the captains, he lifted up his spear and killed 300, killed by him at one time. So here in two different texts, we have him, one, killing 800 men, and then in 1 Chronicles, killing 300 men. He was someone who was chief among the captains. We to get a better idea of how they are, the hierarchy of how they are listed here, you have the first three, who are the mightiest men. You have a second three, which only two names are listed, but you have a second three that are the second mightiest men, and then you have David's 30, which there's more than 30, but it's a name that perhaps either started out at 30 or it's just what they were called, the 30. And so we have his mighty men listed there. Any other questions or comments before we keep going? Just getting started, huh? Here we have there with Josheb. He killed 800 men at one time and 300 men at one time with a spear. Can we think of any other times that in the Bible where men used a spear? Any other stories? You may not have to know where. Yeah, that was Absalom. I knew it was A B something. I couldn't quite remember. It was Absalom. He got his hair caught, and Joab thrust three spears through his heart. Let's turn over there to 2 Samuel 18. 2 Samuel 18. And then, Betty, once you're there, would you read verse 14?
Joab said, "I won't waste time here with you." Now Absalom was still alive in the oak tree, so Joab took three spears and stabbed him in the heart.
So there's one story where a spear was used, and he used three spears at one time. I mean, thrusting it through the meat of someone's body in it, I mean, that was quite a feat to do something like that. Can you imagine killing 800 or 300 people with a spear? You think about a spear, what would a spear look like? What is a spear? Sounds like an easy question. What's a spear?
Probably 6 or 7 feet.
Uh-huh. So it would have been longer than just a sword. You think of a sword is longer than a dagger, longer than a knife. This was a spear, would have had a sharp pointing end of some sort on the very end of it, 6 or 7 feet, something like our height or taller, long enough to reach and to really get into someone. And here we have him killing 300 and 800 people with a spear.
I'm still pretty close.
Yeah.
I
mean, that's a lot of people. Yeah. If we pack it in here on a gospel meeting night, we get maybe around 100. And you think 800 people, that's a lot of people. But you can see how God was with him and how he was a skilled warrior to do such a thing. This, we're starting out with the best of the best. He was the chief among the captains. Turn with me over to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And then can I have somebody read verse 6? 1 Chronicles 12, verse 6. That's not the right. I must have wrote down the wrong verse. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 27. Excuse me. Chapter 27, verse 4. Have somebody read chapter 27, verse 4 for me.
Over the division of the second month was Dodah and Ahonite. And a division of Mekloth also was the leader, and his division were 24,000.
I'm sorry. Verse 2. I said the wrong verse.
Verse 2. It's more urgent. Over the first division for the first month was Jashabim, the son of Zabdiel, and his division were 24,000.
All right. So there is a list. We're starting in verse 2 with Jashabim, who is this same person who is chief among captains. He was a captain over the first month, over 24,000 men. And as it would seem, he was captain for a month. He was the captain of captains, but he would serve for a month and probably had some time off, as those in the military do. They do their work, and then they get to go back home, and then their time comes again, they work some more. But there is, in that text, there's actually 12 different captains of these mighty men that we're going to look at that are listed there. They're each over 24,000 men. And you think about the numbers here, you have each of them over 12 months were over 24,000. Likely, it doesn't know that for sure, but likely it was a separate 24,000 each time serving in David's army. When you think about the numbers of the Israelites here, and they were quite a nation. Any other comments or questions? Joshua, his name was Thou Will Make Me Wise. Thou Will Make Me Wise. Well, let's go ahead and look at the next, David's next mighty man here. There in verse 9. I'm going to read verse 9 and verse 10. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Hohites, one of the three mighty men with David when they defiled the Philistines, who were gathered there for battle. And the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. Here we have Eleazar, this a name that's a little bit easier to pronounce. But in battle, he fought so hard that his hand clave to the sword. You ever been outside working, perhaps gardening or digging a ditch or digging a hole or whatever it is, using a hammer and you're using it so hard for so long that you kind of just have to peel your fingers off of it? Has that ever happened to any of you? Dad, has that happened to you?
Probably.
You think about those times when you're working so hard, you're getting after it so hard that your fingers just kind of, they're stuck. They don't want to move on their own. And you have to kind of peel them back one at a time. Well, that's about how this man was. He attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and it stuck to the sword. Stuck to the sword. His hand clave to the sword. Here it says that he fought this way when David defiled the Philistines. This word defiled is the same word that David used in 1 Samuel chapter 17. If y'all would turn over there to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Likely this could have been the same battle because of the Greek word that is used, the same word defy or defiled. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 26, then David spoke with the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" It's likely that Eleazar fought with David after David defeated Goliath and fought the Philistines here in the same instance. And again, we don't know that for sure, but it's the same words that is used. Either way, if it was or wasn't, he still was a mighty warrior. Still was a mighty warrior who knew how to wield a sword, knew how to take victory. His name means God has helped. God has helped. He was one that was, we're not going to go back and look at it, but in 1 Chronicles chapter 27, he was the second captain. So there we had the first chief of the captains, or captain of captains. And then here we have the second captain. He was the second captain over the second month. Over 24,000 men. 24,000 men. And he's one that is part of the first three of these mighty men. Let's keep reading. Let's look back over there in 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're going to look at the next mighty man. Here in verse 11, and after him, Shammah, The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines, and he stationed himself in the middle of the field and defended it, killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a victory, a great victory. What was it that he was stationed around? Piece of ground full of lentils. What is lentils?
Peas.
So he stationed himself around some crops, around this area, around full of lentils, and it was full of these crops of peas. And he stood his ground. What happens today whenever we have people that are asking us why we do the things we do? Why is it that we go to church on Sunday? Why is it that we don't drink? What should we do? What's that?
You tell them.
You stand your ground, just like this man did, and you tell them. You say, we go to church because of this reason. We don't do these things because of that reason. Should we cave in to people like that? No, we shouldn't. Or to peer pressure, to things of that nature. No, we should be like Shammah, who stood his ground. And the Lord will bring about a great victory. It's not that we won't have to fight. It's not that we don't have to study. But the Lord can bring about a great victory, just like he did for this man. He stood his ground. I tend to think of this man kind of like Stonewall Jackson. Just kind of, he's standing there, standing his ground, fighting. Yes?
I'm not for sure if this is why it mentions it was a ground full of lentils, but I know in Exodus 3, that prior of the world, lentils are, they're a fairly big part of the diet.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point to bring out. And it points out that it was a place of where these crops were at, these peas. That's a good point to bring out, that he may have been defending someone's crops. He may have been defending the city's food source. Any other questions or comments? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 12 through 17. That one doesn't have any hard names. Can I have somebody read that one for me? 12 through 17.
And he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord brought a great victory. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time to the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hole, and the garrison of the Philistine was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of water at the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And three mighty men broke through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it, and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the man that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it." These things did these three mighty men. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three. and he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them and had the name among the three.
All right, so there we have this. It's a little short story talking about what three of the 30 had done. And what is it that David was longing for?
Water from Bethlehem.
Was he just thirsty? Couldn't he just drink any old water? What do you think was special about this? Yeah, he was longing. Perhaps it, if you've ever driven through or lived in different parts in the country, you actually know that water is different. It's not always the same. So, and sometimes it's harder or soft water. Some has more minerals or different nutrition things about the water. But water actually is different in different parts of this country. And that may have been more of a pure water, more of a water that he was used to. But it was also a water that was from his homeland. Yes.
I was going to say, it was from
Bethlehem. Yeah. Just, but it was a water that was from his homeland, and he was longing for this water, and how fresh it would have been for him. So, what do some of these men do?
Risk their lives.
They risk their lives. Thomas mentioned they were surrounded, and these three mighty men risked their lives. They charge through, they fight, they battle just to get a little bit of water. What does the Bible say about water?
It's
living water. Living water, that's right. We can think about Jesus with the woman at the well. And she didn't understand. He says, "Will you draw me a drink of water?" And he talks about, you know, there's a water that you I can give you that you'll never thirst again. And the Bible speaks of water as the staple of life. It talks about the we have the bread of life and we have the living water. Water is a very big staple to us physically, but also spiritually. And here, these men risked their lives to go through just to get David a little bit of water. Why didn't David want to drink that water? I mean, they risked their lives for it. Why didn't David want to drink that water? That's right. He said, these men risked their lives for this. And I'm not going to drink it. He poured it out and he said, "Far be it from me that I should do this. Is it not the blood of men who went in jeopardy of their own lives?" And he wouldn't drink it. He poured it out. He poured it out as an offering unto the Lord. As an offering to the Lord. Did David like to accept gifts that didn't cost him anything? Or offer unto the Lord that which didn't cost him anything, should I say? No, he didn't. He wanted to pay for something if he was going to offer it unto the Lord. He wanted it to be worth something. And this water was very valuable to him at this point. And he wasn't going to just waste it, so to speak, by drinking it. But rather, he offered it unto the Lord. And that little story is in here. And it doesn't mention which of the mighty men it was. It just mentions that it was three of the 30 of his mighty men. Well, let's keep looking there in verse 18. Let's read verse 18 and verse 19 again. Then Abishai was chief of another three. He lifted his spear against 300 men, killed them, and won a name among these three. Was he not the most honored of three? Therefore, he became their captain. However, he did not attain to the first three. Here we have the second list of the three, the second three mighty men, Abashi, and he was chief among those among those three. What is it that it says that he did? How many people did he kill? He killed 300 men, and he became captain among those men, among the second three. Killed 300 men. Well, let's keep looking here in verse 20 through 23. We'll look at the next man. Benaiah was the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab, and he had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. And he killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, so he went down to him with a staff, wrestled the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah the son of Jehoiada did, and won a name among three mighty men. Here we have the second man of the second three. And what is it that he did? He did a whole list of things. What's some things that he did? Slew two lion-like men. You think a lion-like man, it was still a man, but these were men who you think of a lion as a king of the jungle. These men could have perhaps been like Goliath. Goliath was chief among the Philistines, or was a mighty warrior among the Philistines, and he killed two mighty warriors of Moab, two lion-like men. And then he also killed a lion. He also killed a lion who had in the midst of a pit. Perhaps this pit was, it says it was there on a snowy day. Perhaps this lion was hungry during the winter and going to a city. Perhaps this pit was dug to catch a lion. Don't know exactly, but he killed a lion. I'd be scared to death if a lion came up. I've been to a zoo and you see the lions and they're just kind of prowling, just walking around. But you know that they are fierce and that they can kill very easily. And then he also killed an Egyptian. There in verse 21, he killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man. And this Egyptian, if we look over in the text in 1 Chronicles, which we're not going to go over there, but we can, it says that this Egyptian was 5 cubits. Now 5 cubits, a cubit is about 18 inches, 18 to 20 inches. So this would make him about 7.5 foot. 7.5 foot, which is, I don't have a reference point, but it's probably about to one of these speakers. It's about 7.5 foot. This was a tall man that Benaiah was fighting, this Egyptian, and he had a spear in his hand. If we look at the Greek, it was like a weaver's beam, kind of like Goliath had a spear that was like a weaver's beam. And so it was an extra tall, extra big spear for a giant. And Benaiah wrestled with this man. He wrestled with him. What did Benaiah have in his hand? What did he have? What's that?
Club.
A club or a staff? It would have been something that was much smaller, as opposed to a spear, which is long and you can reach. And he wrestled with this giant and then killed him with his own spear. What a man he was. He killed two lion-like heroes. He killed a lion. He wrestled and killed an Egyptian with his own spear. And this was quite a soldier here. Very skilled in combat. He was one of David's mighty warriors. And if we look in 1 Chronicles, he was actually, David noted how skilled this man was, and he actually became David's bodyguard. David's guard, Benaiah. Let's look here at our next one. Benaiah was actually also, he was the third captain over 24. Let's look at our next mighty man there in verse 24. Ahio, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. There, Ahio starts the list of the 30. And again, it wasn't exactly 30, because at the end of the text it says there's 37 in all. But it was a name to clarify what these mighty men were. You have the first three, the second three, and then you have the 30. You think about in this time, that probably would have brought fear in the hearts and minds of their enemies. You think about with our nation, what are some military names that will bring fear to others, or that we think are higher than others? I don't know if I'm saying that right, but
Navy SEAL.
Navy SEAL, or we can think about our special ops, or
SWAT,
yeah. These are elite of the elite who are specially trained in special tasks and special combat. SEAL Team 6, you can think about some things like this that you think are the best of the best. And the 30 would have been like that. The 30. They would have just mentioned the 30, and you can think about how other people would have thought of that. They would have known of David's mighty warriors. Any other questions or comments? Well, we're going to kind of skim over some of the rest of these and pick out a few things of some of them. Some of them have some interesting facts about them. And again, I'm just going to mention their first names, because that's going to be a lot easier. So we just looked at Ahio, and then there is Elnan in verse 24, Shammai, the Haradite, in verse 25. He was the fifth captain over 24,000. Then we have in verse 25 again, Elek, and then Helez. We have Ira in verse 26, Abizur in verse 27, Meberne in verse 27. He was the eighth captain over 24,000. Zalman, we have Mahari, Heleb, Etai, Benaiah. Benaiah was the 11th captain over 24,000. Then we have Hadi, Abi, Aldon, Asmuth, Elhapa, the sons of Jashen and Jonathan. Now we have Ahim, Elphite, Elam, Hezriah, Parai, Igal, Panai, Zalek, Nahorai, Ira, Goreb, and Uriah. And then we know a lot about Uriah. He's at the very end. Uriah. Who was Uriah? Uriah the Hittite. Who was his wife? Yeah. Yeah? That's right. So there we get into the story with David and Bathsheba. David and Bathsheba, who can tell me that story pretty quick? Or a short version of it? Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. David was found guilty, and so he had to
Yeah. We all remember Uriah the Hittite, and this was his wife, Bathsheba. I didn't mention it earlier, but Eliam in verse 34 was actually Bathsheba's father. So David not only killed one of his mighty men or had it occur that way, but he did the same thing with one of his mighty men's daughters who was already married. And that was Eliam in verse 34. But Uriah was a mighty man, and David eventually had him killed in the heat of battle.
Another thing I noticed that Joab was the main commander of David's army. Mm-hmm. And I noticed in verse 18 and also in verse 24 that his brothers
of Joab. It was a family of warriors.
Evidently.
Yeah. Runs in the family, and I'm sure that they were taught by their father and their brothers. They all, as iron sharpens iron, they work together. Not all these men were Israelites either. Well, we obviously know Uriah the Hittite. Hittite is not an Israelite, but it's likely that he, being one of David's mighty men, that he came from the Hittites, the land of the Hittites, which was in Canaan, and worshipped the God of the Israelites. Because we have the Hittites. There's actually a Syrian in chapter 23, verse 36, and then there's some Amorites as well in verse 37. So not all of David's men were Israelites. Some of them were foreigners. Foreign warriors that followed him. Any other questions or comments before we end class? A little bit of a... Go ahead.
I was going to say his followers were very loyal.
Very loyal. Yeah. You think about just getting him a cup of water. I mean, it's just a cup of water. But that's what they did. I know this is a little bit more of a history lesson, so to speak, and a lot of names, but I still think it's important to look at his mighty men and what they did, and to even mention their names, because their names are recorded in the Bible for a reason. But I appreciate all the comments.